Michael here.
Hi, Michael. You're still
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have the same problem as last time, that I have to leave for my train to Bremen, which is at 5 o'clock, because I have to catch a meeting at 8 o'clock in Bremen, and therefore I have to leave at 5:30. So, yeah, basically it's now 4 o'clock here. That means in half an hour I already have to leave.
Oh, well, probably. What's on the agenda for today?
Should we change the overall hours?
You mean still earlier, but that would be 6 o'clock in California, wouldn't it?
I'm okay with it. So don't worry.
I guess it depends on Elisa. Was she attending today?
No, I don't think so.
I think even 7 is too early for her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we had it at like 8 or 8:30 before. So I don't mind. So maybe you can put that on the agenda and discuss it.
I guess I'll send her email, because there's actually a bit of buzz at the ISO meeting about Fontal IOP.
Uh-huh.
And I guess Elisa is the liaison between OMG and that group within ISO. So I'll talk to Elisa then offline to find out a little bit more.
So what is going on there?
So that's SC32 Working Group 2. That's where the common logic is being standardized. But there are two other projects within that group. One of them is ISO 11179, and the other one is ISO 19763. Both of them are dealing with registries, and particularly this 19763 has a part that deals with ontology registries. And so they were... there are a few misconceptions about what OntoIOP is about. Some people, because what happened was, it was Monday, right? Yeah, so Monday was when it was released to OMG, correct? OntoIOP, the document for the RFP?
Yes.
And so the meeting was from 11th to the 15th. And so I think by Wednesday, a lot of people had heard about it at the meeting. And so... There was one misconception that they thought that OntoIOP was supposed to be this super upper ontology that encapsulated everything, and so I explained that's not what it was about. But then they were wondering how what we're doing in OntoIOP is different from what they were doing in these ontology registries. And so I was trying to explain, you know, that with OntoIOP what we're doing is it's a meta language for dealing with logical languages for representing ontologies, and ontologies expressed in those logical languages. And that's going to take a little bit more education on their side. They're not used to semantics in the terms of model theory. They deal with a lot of meta models. They use a lot of UML. So there might be a little more education either I have to give them, or maybe Elisa as being the liaison to explain to that part of ISO. And I think essentially, you know, like what they're doing is they have these meta models for dealing with ontology registries and repositories, but they don't have any semantics. So that might be the story we want to tell them.
Sorry, Michael, I didn't get really the context or the goal. Was it just that they became aware of OntoIOP and want to know more, or was it that you have a goal of getting them involved?
No, they became aware of OntoIOP because they saw the RFP come out of ONG. And so their initial reaction was, what are these other people doing? They're just doing what we're doing, right? That what we're doing within OntoIOP is already covered by what's happening in these other two ISO standards. And so I had to explain to them, like, get rid of some of their misconceptions about what they thought OntoIOP was.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
But it's kind of funny because it was at one of the lunches, and people were talking about it, and I finally realized what they're talking about, and it was kind of like, you know, how someone talks in front of you in the third person. And I had to say, they asked me, what are those people doing? And I said, oh, well, we are doing this. So it was kind of a funny moment.
Did they realize you were with AutoIR?
No. Not until I explained it to them.
Okay.
That's why I say it was kind of, it was like somebody talking about you in front of you, but in the third person, right? Like,
well, Michael, it sounded like those things, that environment there is the same as what will happen on G. You have a lot of meta modelers who aren't necessarily thinking semantically.
Right. Right. So, I mean, it was a productive conversation, and you know, they hadn't quite read the OMG doc, the RFP yet. I mean, they just heard about it and scanned through it. It was their kind of their first impressions. And they're also, again, speaking from the perspective of their two ISO standards.
So, but that was our best ISO meeting. So at the OMG meeting, people have read the document or not?
Well, they're supposed to, but, you know, sometimes not as much as they should. The AD, of course, will read it more carefully than your average task force.
Okay. So the good news is that that Eliza Kendall is our reviewer. She wrote me. Can imagine that means that she kind of reports to the AB and she has to read it in detail. And it's a good news.
She's a member of the AB and she was assigned it by the chair.
Okay.
Which just means when the AB discusses it, they turn to her and say, ask what her input was, and there's they ask questions and stuff like that. Other people are supposed to read it too, but it's not their direct, quote, homework that's given to them. So her opinion is, of course, very influential because she's the one who's sort of representing it on the AD.
Well, Fabian, I'm just going to send you the SlideTech files that I used for the presentation in New Jersey.
Thank you. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, there's also the sources of my presentation in Berlin in the Onto IOP Subversion repository. So
I have the PDF version. I am still wrangling with the Subversion thing, but that's all right. I mean, at least I have the PDF.
Well, I had a lot of trouble even LaTeXing till source. It imports a lot of packages that I was having trouble with.
Okay. Well, I'm sure I'll get it worked out eventually. For now, it's more important that I have the PDF version so that I can think about what the content, whether the content needs to change. Well, actually, that's a good, you know, I'm not sure what the agenda is, but either now or next in 2 weeks, I would like your input on what you would change compared to your previous slides.
Okay. And your email address is web.de right now?
Yeah, that works.
I had one small bit of input on the objective, if it happens to work its way into the slides, which was just that you probably want to drop these words abstract and concrete because they have different meanings among OMGers. And it's enough to say you have a meta language and a language.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
It seems to only appear in the objective, and I didn't know if that was wording that was propagating other places.
I think it is, yeah.
So concerning the general contents of the slides, so I guess that you should somehow repeat part of the things that Michael and I said in the previous meetings, but I think you should put an emphasis on the UK studies that we have, because this was one main criticism that Michael received in New Brunswick. This sounds very ambitious, and this seems to be a research project and so on. And now we have carefully designed redesigned the section on the case studies, and now I think it's in a much better shape now. And this also somehow should be presented on the slides, I think.
I agree.
Okay. I'll work with you on that. And the problem is, of course, that at least some of the use cases I'm not very familiar with, but we welcome back.
I will explain you. Okay, so another point, the question is how to work on this document now. So we already received two lists of comments, or basically two change documents, one of them by Maria and the other by Christoph. And this means, as long as only one person changes this document, we can always base the subsequent changes on the previously changed document. So we can basically hand the document around and try whether that works. Alternatively, we could also return to this Google Documents style thing.
How much trouble was that to do the conversion, so?
The conversion took me 2 hours or so.
Mm.
A bit of pain, but it worked. And I'm not sure whether you can merge, if you stay on these Word documents, whether you can merge two differently changed versions also. And definitely there will be, if OMG people like Roy Bell had a lot of comments, and he put the comments directly in the Word document. So. Yeah, but maybe we can have a Google Doc document until directly before the starting of the OMG meeting. And at the OMG meeting, we should return to Doc again, because at the meeting, people tend to send around Doc documents. At least Elisa told me that.
Yeah, definitely. We have to have it in Word at some point. It's just a question of how it's best for us to work as a group in a distributed way.
The tricky part about making changes after you've submitted is that, in theory, the reason you turn in 4 weeks early is people read it and then they vote on it. If you're making changes in between when you've submitted it and when they're voting on it, you have to make it clear what those are so that the voting is informed. I don't actually can't remember what if there's any particular procedure for that, but you should be posting and the changes, either with change bars or with, you know, some explanation of what you've changed and so on. But it's not a common thing to change a lot, even sometimes during the discussion prior to the vote. You just want to make it transparent.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that would make it more difficult to work with a Google Docs, because I don't know how to generate a diff from the old Word version and the new Google Doc. I could convert it to Word, but then how to get the changes, it's difficult. So then it's probably easier to directly work with a doc document, and if two people work on it in different directions, try to merge it somehow.
Well, what kinds of changes do we foresee making between now and the meeting, though?
So if you look at the changes that Maria and Christoph have made, then...
Oh, they already made the change. Made changes, you mean?
Yeah, they made changes. So Christoph has sent, Maria has sent around a document to a small group of people.
I just saw
and
it.
Christoph, based on this, has modified Maria's document and done some further changes and sent this to the list.
I see it.
And basically they have inserted comments there. And I think, yeah, there are only very few changes. And I expect that these changes that we now make are more of an editorial nature. So we won't change, like Fabian and I have completely changed the structure of the case, use cases and introduced completely new use cases and so on. So now I expect more moderate changes, and then it would be easier to maintain them.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm just thinking. I don't really see us making any major changes between now and the meeting. So it might just be adequate to maybe incorporate what Maria and Christoph did just now, and as Conrad said, just to kind of make that available if people haven't read it yet, and more or less to be very, very conservative on any other changes that get made. Effectively, maybe just kind of having them off to the side, and Fabian can maybe present those kind of at the meeting, like if there are any last-minute changes, to draw attention to them, but to kind of keep the document as close as possible to its current state. Because like you said, I don't see us making any major technical changes.
No. Certainly not, but yeah. So I think I will go through, I carefully will go through the changes by Maria or the comments and so on, and also try to answer them and send around the document. And then we can keep discussing all these little changes over the list. And then say 1 week before the meeting, I would send the result around.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
That would be end of next week or so. That would be 1 week before the meeting. Okay.
Will you document that on the chat, please?
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
I just type in the chat.
Keep typing. Yeah.
So one other point was the time of this meeting, and there was a suggestion to move this ahead 1 hour, but I'm not sure. The problem is also that in Magdeburg, for example, in 2 weeks there will be also a council meeting here 1 hour earlier. And so I think we should leave this for another time, and I will try to get some internet connection in the train and maybe try to do the meeting from the train.
Sure. My experience, because I tried that, my experience is that there are stretches in Niedersachsen where you will lose contact.
Let's see, what's the next? So the ONG meeting is December 11th, I think, was it?
December 9th.
December 9th.
So the next meeting will be December 4th,
okay,
which is just before the ONG meeting, and that we could use that to give feedback to Fabian's slide.
So what's your schedule like on December 4th? You'll be heading back to Bremen on December 4th as well this time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could just cancel my meeting in the evening for that time, because it's quite important that we have a good presentation there. And then, yeah. So let's leave it. But the problem is, before I have my introductory lecture here before that, and a lot of things. So let's keep it, but then I cancel the evening meeting and can travel back later to Bremen.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay for my schedule. So then, Fabian, you'll be there on the 9th, then? Santa Clara?
I will arrive on the 8th, I think, or even on the 7th late, I'm not sure.
Okay.
And then stay the whole week until Friday.
Will Fabian be the only auto IOP team member there, besides Alisa, of course?
Yeah, for me, unfortunately, that's right.
Are you there, Conrad?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Oh, okay. Good.
For me,
I will have somebody who can show me the ropes and can help me to avoid the pitfalls.
Yeah, that's right when my final exam is for my course, so that's why I won't be able to make it.
And for me, it's also difficult because I have teaching duties here in Magdeburg, and I'm glad that Fabian can do it.
So is there anything else for today, then?
If we have time, we can also go through some of the comments in
okay.
the document itself.
It's up to you, like when you have to leave.
I have to leave in 5 or 10
okay.
minutes.
Right.
Well, let's try. So you have to open the attachment of Christoph's mail. Ah, Fabian, you didn't get that mail? Then I can forward this to you.
No,
I have it at the, if you click on today's workspace near the top, here it's our workspace. I have the copy there as well.
Oh, thanks. So, and the first comment is on page 18. And Maria says RDF is not an ontology language, but a data language only, so we should delete it. And Christoph says he doesn't agree, because, it's important for semantic web and linked open data. And I also would say that OntoIOP is not just about ontology language, because, we have now the title is ontology, specification and modeling languages.
Yeah, but I would agree with Christoph. I think RDF is used as an ontology language. You look at, there are a lot of, I think the BBC Sports Ontology is primarily written in RDF. So there are ontologies that are strictly written in RDF that people use.
Okay, so I just add this to the document.
Thank you. I mean, you know, granted, maybe some people think of RDS as being a data language, you know, using Sparkle, et cetera, as ways of doing semantic, you know, graphical databases, but people definitely use it for ontologies, too.
Okay, yeah, great. Then the next comment is on page 20. It's basically, yeah, Maria says there's a better paper, then we can just integrate that. And there is no footnote 3. I don't understand this comment, but I have to ask Maria then. Yeah, then there are some minor changes on page 21, basically additions to the use case 2, which seems quite useful. Then on page 22, there is Maria criticizes DL speak, like concepts and roles. I'm not sure. I think this is rather common ontological jargon, but should we speak of classes and object properties instead?
I mean, object properties is even more I'll speak.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but
you can talk about universals, then you will be a real ontology.
Yeah, I think we cannot avoid ontology speak and ontology use cases, so.
Well, I think you're just talking about that particular logic. That you just replace role with relationship. Or relationship.
Okay. I can't keep rows and brackets. Okay, that's good. Okay, the next on page 22 is just the wording. I can do this offline. 23. Okay, so that's also wording. Yeah. So Maria criticizes that it's a bit too clumsy description of the use case. We can try to fix that. Page 25. Okay, it's also a wording use case spec 2 to all the also, I have conforming logical language. Yeah, okay. Then, use case model 1, then, Christoph asks whether we should write that the OMG ODM only provides syntactic transformations rather than semantic ones. So I think that's good. So we write syntactic transformations. Although they are also have been written with the semantics in mind, but I'm not sure whether there is in the standard there is no formal semantics. Okay, then Maria says, with the onto-IOP meta language, one can, e.g., automatically translate among the different formalizations. And she says, okay, enable, onto-IOP only enables such translation. So, yeah, that's wording again. The next is wording again, so... Uh-huh. 26, page 26 is also wording. Page 28, there's some wording. Mm-hmm. Then page 29, SQL. And then there is also DML and DCL. I'm not sure whether we need that. Okay, I can ask Maria. And I think that's it then. Ah, no, there's something on page 33. Sounds a bit sketchy. Okay, I can extend this. And that's it. So, yeah, then we have them through. Yeah. Okay, so I will go through this in detail and write more detailed answers and reformulate things when necessary and so on.
I have a question for, in particular for Conrad, but also for everybody else who has more experience with OMG than I do. Are the use cases in the way they're written now, is that the format they were looking for? Because last time we discussed, and I think there was consensus on that use cases needed to be improved, and the question is, well, that we revised them. Is that what you had in mind?
Well, there's no particular format. In fact, you know, some of our features aren't as good, don't give use cases. So whatever the writer thinking the most explanatory. There isn't something OMG says should be in that section.
Okay. But last time we discussed it seemed you had in mind some changes that you would like to see, and the question is, did we address the issue you had in mind?
Well, my comments were last time were more general. I didn't have particular comments about the use cases the way they were, but what I can do is I can look at them more carefully and give you some feedback.
That would be great.
Silence. Michael?
Anybody left?
I'm here.
Okay.
Did we lose Michael?
You like to take over?
Sorry, here I am.
Oh.
Okay, sorry. Got stuck there. Muted. Well, is there anything else that we need to talk about? I mean, without opening giant cans of worms at this point. I think, kind of just ran through those comments, and I don't know if people had any other concern with those comments. They all looked okay to me.
I will probably have a huge number of questions to all of you in 2 weeks.
But yeah.
Unfortunately, right now, no.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing else then, I guess we'll finish for today then.
So in 2 weeks, the same time as we have, the same as today's.
It sounded like it, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Guys, I'll see you then.
See you then.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael.